Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
It's 106 in Edmonton. Reality's clicking in here. Brendan Escott has just typed up the name and the number of our next guest, and it's come up Todd McClellan, California, which maybe speaks to where we're at right now. So anyhow, this is Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer with you. Oilers Now is brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex, PCs, copiers, supplies, printers, laptops, IT plotter software. Now Digitex can manage your corporate cell phone plan, saving your company money. All your devices managed at Digitex. The texts, and a lot of them have come in, many of which have said the same thing. Bob, please thank Todd for his work with the Oilers over the last three-plus years and wish him the best of luck in L.A. So we'll get that out of the way right away. There's probably been 60 to 80 texts like that over the course of the last hour with knowledge that Todd was going to do our show. We're going to head right off right now to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. He is now the head coach of the LA Kings. Todd McClellan joins us here on Oilers Now. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good afternoon, Stoff, and Edmonton. It's nice to touch base again and spend some time with you.
Yeah, no, much appreciated. You had options. Tell me about the fit with Rob Blake and the LA Kings, Todd.
Well, what's interesting about the situation that I'm going into in L.A. is that Rob and I have had a relationship going back to 2008 when he joined the San Jose Sharks as a player. And at that time, I was the head coach, and roles were completely different. You know, I was directing the team and his ice time and his play, and he was producing some good years for us. Now, he's the boss. He's the general manager, and I'm the coach, but what I've known and what we've worked on hard over the years is keeping the relationship that we had. I've been able to watch him grow as a manager, and he's been able to watch me grow as a coach. Now when we spent time together over the last 3 weeks talking about the opportunity in LA, I realized that I think I could have a real good, long-lasting relationship with him as a manager. We share a lot of the vision that's necessary, I think, for the rebuild in L.A., and I'm excited about the opportunity.
You just used a term that I don't think a lot of people have used to describe the Los Angeles Kings, rebuild. So is there a recognition that, that despite the fact that you have, you know, a 30-something-year-old on, I think, what's Andre Kopitar now, 31, 32, Doughty's 29, I mean, those guys are two terrific players. Is the organization in a bit of a rebuild right now, Todd?
Well, they're facing reality, and they know where they're at. Coming off a couple of Stanley Cup championships, they've had to move assets out to do that. The cupboards have got thin over time, and they're not apologizing for it. They won the championships. They would do it all over again. But what ends up happening is you pay the price for it a little bit further down the road, and that's the situation they're in. So it was very enlightening to sit down with their management team and from the owner on down to see their plan, to see what's in place. But it is a situation where the team needs to get younger, where it needs to change the makeup of the team because of the way the league is playing. That doesn't mean the veteran players won't be valued there. There's some tremendous amount of talent, but it is a simple fact that they're in a real position where they have to retool, and they're going to have to be patient doing it, and they have a plan, and they're going to execute it.
Is this a little bit different of an experience for you? I mean, when you left Detroit and went into San Jose, I mean, they were a 50-win team, I believe, with Ron Wilson the year before, and you took over San Jose, and they were a 50-win team the next couple of years as well. I mean, they were kind of, their players, a lot of their top players were finished products. You came to Edmonton, and I know the jokes about the perpetual rebuild in Edmonton, but the fact is, Todd, it looked like a team that was on the precipice of taking a big step forward. And I'm sensing here this is maybe a little bit different challenge for you.
I think it is. You know, the case in Edmonton, as we were entering that situation, they had a real strong young core in place with Hall, Everly, Nugent Hopkins. They had some players coming in, Dreisaitl and Nurse, in the organization, and then of course the kingpin of them all was Connor being drafted that summer, and the pieces were slowly falling into place. And in this case, they're coming off championships. They've moved those assets. I guess if you're going to use a comparison, Dreisaitl, Nurse, those type of draft picks have been moved out to acquire pieces so that they could go on the run and win cups. So I would say that LA is a little further behind where Edmonton was as we entered, but you know, they're aware of it, and they're operating based on the reality of it. And like any team, it really, one thing that I found out, it doesn't matter where you go, you've got a lot of work to do, and you got to really dig in. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have a lot of work to do, and they had 62 wins. So the league is not easy anymore. It doesn't matter what type of team or group you're presented. You have to dig in and get the best out of them and project where your team is going and try and build that way.
Todd, you had options when you took the Edmonton job back in 2015. And regardless of what's been reported, you had options here as well. How important is your feeling as a coach in terms of this is the right situation for you and your comfort level with ownership and management?
Oh, I think it's very important. You know, for anybody in my situation, I was basically a free agent once I was let go in Edmonton. And when you hit free agency as a player, a manager, maybe even a broadcaster, you could answer that question. But you end up in a situation, if there's more than one team that is interested in you, you get to do some homework and you get to talk to different people and ask questions. The interview becomes yours as well as theirs. And you're looking for stability. You're looking for comfort. There is no guarantee that it's going to play out the way you hope it will. But you take the information, you make your best guesstimate on the best spot for you and where you think you can have the biggest impact. It's not always going to the best team. It's going to the team where you believe you can have an impact. And you make your decision, and once you do, it's time to roll up the sleeves and get back to work.
You took the job late last week. Have you had any thought process to the makeup of your staff, or is that in its embryonic stages right now?
Well, that's certainly in the embryonic stages. Really, quite frankly, the last month's been a whirlwind for me, following my son's hockey and traveling to do all of that, meeting with different people. The LA experience of being there and trying to get comfortable as a family was really important for us to begin with. And now we'll let things settle down a little bit. You obviously need a really good, strong staff. There's people that I've worked with in the past. There's new people out there. I really need to take some time and digest everything. I'd like to talk to some of the players prior to working on the staff to see what their beliefs in the team are and where they think they're at, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned following Tyson and Denver around. Of course, you were in Buffalo for a couple days. I watched the game that Denver got knocked, the Final Four game. I know we've spoken about it privately, but wow, that is a unique set of rules where they can sit there and use video review on potential headshots. I'm sure you're used to it by now, but if you're not used to it, or if it's the first time you've ever seen it, you're like, geez, that looked like a pretty good hit to me. They are very protective of that in NCAA hockey, aren't they?
They certainly are. They're not going to err on the free shot. They're not going to err on the injury. They are very protective of the head at that level. Are they ahead of the game? I don't know. Is that where it's going? But it's funny. You're frustrated with all of the calls, with all the delays in the game as it happened in that one. But when you have a son playing, and Tyson was involved in one of those hits he took, you kind of appreciate the fact that they're willing to slow it down. They're willing to hold players that are reckless accountable. You know, when you have skin in the game, it's a little bit different.
And, sure.
You know, that's the benefit of having two young sons that keep you current, and one that plays hockey keeps you really current when it comes to the game.
On that note, the Kings are a team that has a reputation for being a bigger, heavier team. A lot of people thought, I believe the term used to describe what Pete Chiarelli was trying to build here was Brunization of the Edmonton Oilers lineup. And I know that you had philosophical discussions with Peter when you took the job back in 2015. Los Angeles has always been a big, tough, difficult team. They sort of kicked sand in the face of the Oilers in the past. Do you foresee the Kings maybe, have they already started down the process of maybe changing that makeup a bit and going to a little bit more speed and skill as the league has moved in that direction?
I think that's very fair to say. You know, one has to take a look at what happened over the last decade. There were two teams that won a lot of Stanley Cups, and that being Chicago and that being L.A. I think they won five of seven. You throw Pittsburgh in there with back-to-back ones, and each style was significantly different. Chicago had some pace, some offensive skill, where L.A. wore teams down. They just wore on them and wore on them, used their size and their strength. So teams that were emulating what the successful teams were doing had to pick between one or the other. And, you know, I'll talk about L.A.'s situation. They won. They believed in what they were doing. But now it's time to adjust a little bit, move forward, and they recognize that. Most of the skill, most of the talent, the speed, the pace is coming through the draft now. Mm-hmm. And as I've said earlier, they didn't have all their picks because of their championship runs. But now they're stockpiling again, and I'm sure there'll be a focus on that attribute when it comes to acquiring talent.
Obviously, we're not going to drill down in Edmonton. That's in the past, but I'd be remiss without asking you about what it was like to coach, you know, Edmonton's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl had ridiculous years when it was all said and done. What was it like dealing with those guys on a day-to-day basis?
Well, those two in particular were outstanding. You know, Connor is a hell of a player. I don't even have to begin to go into that for the Edmonton fans. They're fortunate to watch those two play each and every day. But what they probably don't see enough of is the type of people those two are. Connor is an outstanding young man. If I had a daughter, I'd want him dating Connor, put it that way. He's respectful. He approaches the game properly. He understands the community. He's passionate. I've never seen him turn a little autograph seeker down. Doesn't matter how old he is, what time of night it is, he's signing an autograph. So it goes above and beyond for him. He understands he's an ambassador, and Leon has a lot of those qualities as well. He's come a long, long way as a player and as a human being. I enjoyed every minute around those two players, and quite frankly, every minute around all the players. They bring their own unique personalities to the rink. I wouldn't trade my years in Edmonton for anything. I was hoping for more, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
And on that note, you know, Todd, we're going to wrap things up here. We appreciate your time, but this is, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk to you after the move was made back in November. I think you know that a lot of the fans, history played out. It's not like the team improved during the course of the season, but just an opportunity for you to say a final message to the fans here in Edmonton.
Yeah, and I don't think it has to be a final one. I'll certainly be back in that community, obviously with L.A., but I've said it to you privately, and I've said it to a number of other people in that community that my time there was treasured, and I'll always look back on my days. The fans were outstanding. They're patient. They deserve a championship-caliber team, and I'm sure they'll get there eventually, but it is one special spot in the National Hockey League, and that community, that city should be proud of the way they behave and the way they support that team.
Todd, thanks for your time, and we'll touch base down the road.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
See you later. That is Todd McLellan, the head coach of the Los Angeles Kings. It is one night, still has an interesting...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, ring to it. Wow. What a crazy year. 119 in Edmonton. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. This is Oilers Now.
This is Oscar Plefbaum from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Shed.
It's 123 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Oilers Now, Bob Stauffer with you. Want to tell you, the guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village. Steak and seafood cooked right at your table. Japanese Village, Edmonton South, downtown, Northside, and Sherwood Park. And you can text us at 630-630 on our Heartland Ford text line. With over $10 million in new and pre-owned inventory, they're one of the largest Ford dealers in Alberta. Experience the difference of Heartland Ford out in Fort Saskatchewan. Brendan, you heard him? There you go. He promised me that when he got his next job, he would do our show right away, and that's what Todd did. So we'll get to some of the text, but just get a quick thought from you on that. Any surprise at all in his perspective on things?
Definitely not. I think it was pretty clear to me that I think he wanted to stay the course here, and Unfortunately it wasn't in the cards. But just a class act. I think That's a real good way of describing him. He's just a classy guy.
Out of Lac La Biche on our Heartland Ford text line, Todd is all class. This text out of Edmonton. It's a classy guy, that Todd McClellan. More text. What an absolute pro that man is. That one comes to us from JJ. This text from Carl says, Bob, it's interesting that Todd has said, without coming out and saying it, that the team that he came to coach in Edmonton was torn apart before he could bring those players to the point he wanted to. Like I said, management was way too impatient. Hopefully they don't do that again. Yep. Can't say I disagree. Management was too impatient. And he had the keys, man. The GM had the keys. So I'd say it to Peter's face. He was given carte blanche, made some moves early that, here's an example, Brendan, of perspectives. Like people say, well, why would you ever have traded two picks knowing there was an expansion draft coming up with Seattle for Griffin Reinhart? They didn't know there was an expansion draft coming up. Now, the trade itself, two picks for Griffin Reinhart, it's just a bad trade. Did not work out. Okay? The Hall trade, I've always said there's been contributing factors, some of whom are no longer with the organization, that didn't necessarily help that scenario out, but it was ultimately a trade where, and if you take a look, and I'm going to give you two other guys in the organization that Shirelli could have talked with, Kevin Lowe and Scott Housen. Look at what Kevin Lowe got for Chris Pronger. Look at what Scott Housen got for Rick Nash. And then turn around and take a look at the Taylor Hall trade. It's all you need to know. How did those guys handle trading away? And actually, they were in a tougher spot than Shirelli was with Hall. Okay? They were in a tougher spot because Taylor Hall didn't want to leave. Okay? In the case of Chris Pronger, Kevin Lowe was in a tough spot and made a really good trade with Anaheim. And Anaheim won the cup, but the Oilers got Loophole, they got Schmid, they got plus, 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 and one of those pluses turned out to be Jordan Eberle. And in case of Housen, he stood his ground on Rick Nash and ended up getting a first-round pick. He got Dubinsky, he got Anisimov. Like, he got a good return on that trade. Made a pretty good hockey trade. Who am I missing? Who else did they get in that deal? Anyways, it's interesting. And Peter knows it. If he was listening to the show right now, he knows it. Even what occurred during the course of this season. The Oilers were 9-8-1 when they traded Ryan Strome. I know he wasn't a world beater. He played 14 of his first 18 games with Milan Lucic, who, by the way, was the prize asset that was brought in via free agency. So this isn't a kick dirt fest on Peter. He'd acknowledge it. He'd have to. You've heard Brian Burke on the show. Brian Burke has said Peter would acknowledge he was given. Now, was there a secondary wave of prospects here beyond the elite? I mean, the Oilers had elite. They had Draisaitl in Kelowna when Shirelli and McClellan came aboard. Playing in the Memorial Cup that year, right? They had the pick, which was going to obviously go for McDavid. They had Nurse. They had Klefbom. They had Nugent Hopkins. Oh, yeah, they had Hall and Eberle. So when the texter says it's... this text comes in out of Barhead. Bob, it seemed obvious to me from Todd's comments that he would have preferred to keep the Oilers' young core together after the 2015 season. Sounds like he wasn't on board with dismantling the group. Thoughts from Dave and Barhead. I would suggest that you would have hoped. Like, Adam Larson was a good piece, and Adam Larson played a factor in the Oilers taking a big step forward. The league moved in the other direction as well. So one of the things that undermined Shirelli, in fairness, was they didn't have a wave of guys. Like right now, the organization, whoever comes in here, has got a wave of defensemen coming. There are defense prospects coming that are going to change the makeup of the D moving forward. Caleb Jones, William Lagesson, potentially Ethan Bear, definitely Evan Bouchard, Dmitry Samarukov, even Joel Person. They didn't have guys like that before coming on the back end. Forwards, I wouldn't say they have a multitude of prospects coming, but Yamamoto and Benson. And Yamamoto's been hurt this year, and it's been a bit of a lost year. And they have the pick. It's not a terrible situation, but they got to start gaining some traction. Bob, listening to those guys might have been Peter's downfall. We'll never know. Probably not. Only time will tell, and I hope the truth comes out sooner than later. More texts on Todd. Just multiple people saying, I can't read this one text. Todd wasn't going to comment on Peter's work. That was pretty apparent, and he didn't. So for the texters that asked me, that was not going to go down that path. Ash says, what about, why are you saying Peter's name again? What about Craig McTavish, and what about Scott Housel? Well, they're both still in hockey operations, Ash. 129 in Edmonton, and again, I believe that Shirelli, for the most part, real autonomy. And Brian Burke has suggested that on this show, too, and he has no reason to do so. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Cassandra Jodwan. We'll get to more text a little bit later on, because now we got everybody fired up again. And Kurt Hill with a quick hit on the Edmonton Oil Kings as well.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon. On Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.